Well, good morning. I can't even talk. Well, good morning, everybody. Goes the bell right there, and welcome to this edition of the David Trick Podcast on this awesome Tuesday morning. How are you? I hope that you're doing well. Talking about be obsessed or be average. Be obsessed or be average. I got the title from Grant Cardone, who is one of my online mentors. Uncle G. Shout out to Uncle G out there in Miami, Florida. But I also got the, two other places where I got this idea from. There's a song by a band called Delirious called Obsession. And then there's also, by the way, a fragrance, right, called Obsession. But that's not one of the reasons why I like this. The third reason actually is a podcast by Tim Ferriss. If you haven't checked out his podcast, make sure you go to iTunes or Google Play and type in The Tim Ferriss Show. And on today's guest, or maybe it was yesterday's guest, he's interviewing a hedge fund manager, so he's a millionaire. And Tim is asking this guest, what makes a good customer? And he's saying, and this guy is saying, people that are obsessed. And he mentioned, I think it was Bach or perhaps Beethoven, these amazing composers, and how for all of their amazing music, these men wrote millions of songs that nobody even knows about. And it was in their prolific obsession for creation or for creating, for creativity, that their genius is found. And so it made me think about how in the church, in my home, in my body, when it comes to leadership, when it comes to life in general, how you have to be obsessed. My obsession is the church, is seeing people win at life. My personal obsession is to be the best, is to be successful. And that drives me, and sometimes it almost kills me. Most of the time, it drives me to accomplish my dreams and to live the life that I get to live. But I was thinking about this idea of obsession and thinking, how do you become obsessed? And how do you, maybe you're not driven to succeed, how do you then perhaps, how do you handle the times when you can't succeed and you can't quite reach your obsession? And so I want to give you a few tips. So number one, I thought about, I don't have any slides, I wish I did, but I'll just give you some tips. So number one, in terms of how do you become obsessed and slash how do you then manage your failures when you can't reach this potential? I was thinking number one is what he said, is creativity. Is I think that the way that you become or that you succeed at something is by creating, by continually putting content out there, by being prolific at what you do. So a painter is going to paint endlessly. Someone who is a teacher is going to teach wherever they go. A young person who loves music is going to either listen to or play music nonstop. No matter what area of life you're into or what area you're into, the key to success is to be obsessed. And that means, number one, is to create. Number two is to be open, to have an open mind to language and to looking at things differently. I find that this is one of those things that makes me very successful, is that I don't close my mind even to negative stuff. Even negative people can teach us a lot about everything. You have to, especially as we age, we have to be open-minded and realize that the tendency as we age is to be close-minded. Right, just think of all the people in your life that are older. They tend to be narrow-minded. And so to be open-minded is really a trait of genius. There was this Harvard test that this guy on the podcast was talking about that describes or examines genius and whether it's mental genius, or maybe it's emotional genius or financial genius, whatever it may be. And they discovered that these men and women are people who learn from anyone. One of the things that is very important is in this area of learning from anyone is to expose yourself to everything and to not be afraid of learning from random places. That's how you're going to be able to sharpen your own thoughts. The only way that a knife is sharpened is when it's put up against that sharpening stone. There has to be some friction between the knife, the instrument, and the external world, that stone. And when you add water and you begin to slowly get that blade onto that stone, that smooth stone, then that knife becomes extremely sharp, dangerously sharp, ready to cut that sushi up or to make some yummy salsa. Yum, yum. Ready for some Gozo food here. There we go, Gozo Bell. Gozo mugs back there, by the way. If you want to buy any of these things, you can go to davidtrigger.com/shop and get your own Gozo mug. So you have to be obsessed. First, prolific in creating. Second, exposed, open to everything. I think third is you really need to be calm under pressure. Be calm under pressure. I find that genius is shown when things are bad. That's when true genius emerges, is when things aren't going the way you want them to. Your mental, your mind, your emotions might tell you that you need to stop, that you need to run, that you need to fight, you know, the whole fight, flight, or freeze syndrome when you're going through difficulties. But reality is that true genius slows down and actually thinks more clearly under pressure. That's something that I've realized about genius, is that even though everyone's running around, genius actually tells you, slow down, think clearly, focus your mind. What do they say out there? That innovation is a result of crises, or crisis is the mother of innovation, something along those lines. And I find that to be very true. The reason you're probably not innovating is because you're not in a crisis. Or maybe the opposite is true. The reason you're not innovating is because you're seeing your crisis as a waste of time or as an obstacle to your genius. When in fact, the crisis, even the negativity, is an opportunity for your genius to become stronger. And I would say the fourth thing, these are four things, I guess, that you can do to be obsessed about what you love. Number four is to go back to your core values. Go back to the things that you do and you believe in the most. So I'll give you an example of how this applies to me. So as you know, I pastor a church. I love music. I teach. I do all these things, podcasts, etc. I have a media company with our daughter. And whenever there's a problem, whether it's at church or maybe with the business or just maybe something online is not happening, the temptation for me is to panic, to blame myself, to really, as an Enneagram 3, to think that I'm not winning at life, which I might not be in the moment, but then to allow that to bring me down. True genius and true obsession tells you, no, this is the time to actually get more focused. So in my church right now, we don't have the guy who does the music. We call him the worship leader, as you know. And so he's no longer there. Great friend of mine. I love him dearly. But he's not there. And so in most organizations, the tendency is to get a new person, right? And kind of keep going and just keep things as smooth as possible. Well, the opposite is true for me. When something like this happens, and it's happened to me before, I tend to, as I said, quiet down, slow down my mind, ignore most of what people tell me that I should do, and actually think about my core values and about my purpose. Now, specifically what I mean is that I've always, since I was a young man in my 20s, I've always developed young people in music, in the arts, in production, in technology, and all this stuff with media. But because there's no need per se all the time, then I haven't necessarily been doing a lot of that lately. Well, in this crisis, guess what comes out of me? it's not to get the best music person ever, although I want that. It's not to just, I don't know, get rid of this problem as quickly as possible, although I don't need more problems. But it's actually to use this as an opportunity to teach and to be true to my values. I love doing music. I love developing other people. And so where a normal response would be, as I said, to get rid of the problem as quickly as possible, I actually want to go into the problem and see what good things can come out of it. Specifically, how can I teach other young people how to be amazing and develop them in music? And then maybe even spread this out to other areas, meaning tech, media, podcasting, whatever it may be, beat making, teaching, things that I love to do. So now think in your life. You might be going through a crisis right now. There's something missing. Someone has left your life, maybe financially or in your body. There's something that's not right. Instead of seeing this as a time to bail or worry or whatever, what if you instead became more obsessed with yourself and with what God has told you to do, with your values? So instead of seeing this thing as an obstacle, something that you have to do that you can't run away from, what if instead you see this as an opportunity to be more of yourself? So here's what I mean. What is in you that you're not currently doing? Okay, let me say that again. What value, what skill is in you that you're currently not exercising because there's no need? Or maybe even, let me put it in a different way. What is this crisis trying to bring out of you? What is this problem that you're dealing with trying to actually bring out of you that's already in you, but that just might be hidden, or maybe you've ignored it for a while? So think through, what are the passions of your heart? What are the things that you aren't currently doing that maybe this crisis is asking you to do? See this problem that you're having, or this situation, as an invitation to creativity. Use this opportunity in front of you, this problem in front of you, as an invitation to be more of yourself, more true to the gifts and talents that God has given you. And then, even maybe beyond that, think about the people that you can invest into. Think about the people that you could help because of this crisis. Sometimes when we are comfortable and everything's fine in our lives, we tend to get lazy, right? I know for me, I tend to eat more, eat at night, I tend to sit around because, hey, everything's fine, no problem, right? But when something isn't right, it tends to, as I said earlier, cause creativity in you. It makes you become more creative. I'll give you one last example. I've said this before, my best of times, like the times that I have been the happiest, you know when that was? Is when I was unemployed for almost a year. No income, we had some savings, only Rochelle was working, same bills, same kids. I mean, this is maybe like 10 years ago. Unemployed, doing everything I could, nothing, month after month, very difficult time. But it was the happiest time for me. I was happier than other times when I had work and I had many things going. Why? Because of the creativity it brought out of me. I remember one night I was up building my website, which I had never done before, and I was stuck with the SSL certificate. Basically, it's the way you pay online. And I was building my own e-commerce website from the ground up. I'm an engineer, so this stuff is natural to me. Not easy, but natural. Finally, at about 3 a.m., I got it. I had spent all day working on this SSL certificate. I later found out that you could just buy it for $50 or $80, and Bluehost would do it for you. But by the way, now I have them do it for me. But here's my point. Because I was unemployed, because I was desperate, I learned how to code pretty much SSL certificates for my own website. I will never do that again, but that moment, that feeling of power, of knowledge, of commitment, of genius, of intelligence and research was incredible. I will do that the rest of my life, not with SSL certificates. You're like, what the heck is that? I probably will never, I don't think, I hope not, will spend hours, pretty much 24 hours straight, working on a SSL certificate. But guess what? It reminded me of my obsession to create. Now, why was I worried about this SSL certificate? Well, because if you want to buy a GOSA mug or my t-shirt or my courses online, most people want to make sure that their credit card is secure, right? And that's what this SSL certificate was for. So I could sell my products and really to help people so they could get a hold of my courses. Very important. But that step had to happen. Same thing goes with whatever you're trying to pursue. There might be this thing that you want, this house you want to buy, this body that you hope to one day have, this relationship, but you have a moment of crisis right now. You're unemployed, that girl said no, or maybe there's something in your health and your body that's an obstacle. How can you go back to your obsession? What's that 3 a.m. SSL certificate in your life? What's that thing that you need to go back to? What's that next step that you need to go and be obsessed about? What is God guiding you to do this day, this week? That you're maybe right now saying, I don't have time, Lord, I'm doing this. Go back to your obsession. Go back to what you love to do. For me, excuse me, it's developing people. It's doing music. It's creating. What isn't my true self is being down about paperwork and getting overwhelmed by details. My obsession is in my creating, in my creativity. What is your obsession? How can you go back to your obsession? What's getting in the way of your obsession? How can you remove that obstacle? How can you remove those things that are getting in the way of you staying focused on your true calling, your true passion, what you're calling your obsession? I love this book again, or it was a book by Grant Cardone and a course study. It's titled, Be Obsessed or Be Average. I love the way he describes that and that comparison. I love it. Because for those of us that are obsessed, that want to win at life, that are called to be number one and to succeed at everything we do, even though we might be failing in the moment, there's only one option. Either you obsess, you're obsessed, or you are average. And who wants to be average? No one. No one wants to be average. Nobody wants to be average. I know you want to win. I know I want to win and succeed in everything that I do. And when I'm not succeeding, it's just a momentary setback to be more true to myself, to be more true to yourself. Be obsessed or be average. There is no middle ground. I believe that God wants you and me to be successful in everything we do. And when we are in the hole, when we have hit bottom, that's the moment to be even more focused on what truly matters to you. My prayer for you today is that you will not depart from the Word of God, that you will not depart from your calling in life, that you will not depart from your obsession, that you will make Jesus your obsession, that you will make winning at life your obsession, that you will not be shaken no matter what you're going through. I believe and declare that God will give you the victory in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for watching. Make sure that you comment, like, subscribe in this video, especially if you're watching. Hello, Obando, Antonio. Yeah, ya me salí de todas las redes. No más. Mucha negatividad. Pero estoy ahora en YouTube. I'm on YouTube now. That's where I am. Si quieren verme, estoy en YouTube. Aunque este video en Facebook es como solo una copia, por decir. Pero en YouTube, ahí estoy. Es menos distracción. So thank you guys for watching. Thank you for being here. Just a little Spanish commercial there for some of my friends online. Thank you so much, and I will see you next time. Adios!
Thank you for listening to The David Trick Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrick.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android. Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.